Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. I even know what day of the week it is. I'm usually confused on the days of the week, but it's Saturday, right?
Yes, it's Saturday in your own mind. No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. Not to confuse any listeners.
My mind is last Monday, so, you know, and I'm a day late and a dollar short. No, I'm a week late.
You know,
a lot of dollars short.
Every day, Bill, I wonder, are we going to have enough things to talk about tomorrow? That, you know, when the show ends,
tomato.
There's always stuff. Interesting story this morning. I was looking at one of the sites that we go to regularly for stories, and this really got my goat. All of my goats. A woman has a house in New York, in Queens. This lady she's inherited the property from her parents, and I guess it was the family house for a number of years. She probably grew up there, and the parents passed away, so she has the house. And it's worth, because it's in Queens, and the proximity of Queens to Manhattan, you know, location, 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 right? It's a great place to live and commute into the city. So she decides she's going to sell it for around $1 million. So she gets a real estate agent, and they put it on the market. And all of a sudden, she finds out that the house isn't empty. The house is being occupied. And there's squatters living there. And the squatters have not just moved into the place, but they've taken the old door off the front of the house, put a new door on with a new set of locks, and now she can't get into her own property. And, I mean, this is amazing stuff in the world that we live in, right? So one day she goes to, I guess, Channel 7, WABC in New York, and they send a news crew with her, and they go out to the house, and I guess she figured the door is unlocked so I can go in, because she could see that the door was unlocked. I guess somebody had left the door partially open. So she and the news crew go into the house, and there's a squatter there who's sleeping, and she gets the squatter up and says, "You got to go. This is my house." And the squatter gets upset and says, "No, you've got to go." Well, actually, I have the report, Bill, right here from you hear the audio from the report. You can't see it, but I'm sure you can visualize it. Listen.
I have video of you online.
Who are these?
Figure out the situation, but they're in my house, man. Relax!
No.
To understand how this day ended,
we need the police right away.
With multiple 911 calls and arrests, we have to start at the beginning.
Adele, the hardest question is, how do you say your name?
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he left it.
But she's been locked out. She claims squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave.
What's it like being here knowing you can't go inside of your own home?
It's enraging. It really is.
In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, we'll be well over the 30 days, and this man will have stolen my home. And now she's back.
Just after wrapping up our interview, a woman showed up.
What are you doing in the house? Are you renting this house?
I'm not renting this.
Why are you here?
She unlocked the front door, saw our cameras, and took off.
It's open. Let's go in the house. It's open.
Adele and her daughter, with the property deed in hand, went inside.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
There's a man sleeping right there. Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I moved in about 2 days ago.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmith. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open.
Police started interviewing neighbors and looking for documents.
Do you have something that shows that you've been here for 30 days?
They took the man who told me he had been renting for 2 days out in handcuffs.
They got one out.
And escorted the other guy off the property.
Now you're afraid to come out.
I'm not coming out. This house is empty. This is my home. My locksmith is on the corner waiting to change my locks. And that's not fair. It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, should be having to go through this.
How you doing?
Minutes later, a locksmith showed up. But police gave her a warning before they left.
I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
Less than 10 minutes after police left and the locks were changed. The man who claims to be the one actually leasing the house shows up.
Call the police again.
With the other guy, police took off the property.
Do you see this? This guy just literally broke down my door. broke through myself and my daughter to get in here. This guy just forced himself into my house.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
And so did you.
Ma'am.
You broke through the front door.
Officer.
The man called the police on her.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out. You need to go to court.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
I don't own the house. I don't own this house.
Exactly.
Yes.
She does.
Yes. But then, once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to the house. You got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
But who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show it, you don't want to show it.
Cool. Come here, brother. I like that.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill.
A bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't have the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
So, Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
I'm being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction. She changed the locks on a man who claims he lives there.
So how does this all end then? When do you leave?
The way it ends is either she pays me my money that I put into the house, pay me the money, and I'll leave, or send me to court, and we deal with the judge in court. It's that simple.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is
now, who contracted the guy to do the work in the house? No. And then he said, I'm buying the house. Okay.
From who?
There's a lot of questions that the cop didn't ask because the cop doesn't want to get wrapped up in it. He knows the law, but he knows I'll pass it on to the courts, and then you'll have Letitia up there going, no, it belongs to them. Squatters' rights in New York City is 30 yeah. days.
Yeah.
In the state, it's 10 years. I looked it up. And so that is crap. So if you're a homeowner, beware. If you got properties, think of all the builders out there. They go and buy these homes. They bring in a crew, and that crew comes in. A lot of them hire immigrant workers because they can get them under the table cheap. Don't you think these guys going, hey, Patele, I know a house. I've been working on it.
You know,
there's nobody there yet.
And the thing is, we're very naive in this country. We really are. Because we think, for example, the law is to protect the citizens of the country. We think that also when illegals come into this country, they don't know our laws, when in reality, they've been talking about nothing more than our laws for months. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get together and figure, if you can find an empty house in New York, you take that house. You take that house because if you're in there for 30 days, it's yours, senor.
Well, what's the stop? What's her name? Hochul, the governor there?
Yeah.
What's the stop her of saying, we've got a lot of vacant houses for sale. You know what? Just declare them, the squatter right homes. It doesn't matter.
Let me ask you a question. She's the governor, right? The governor of New York, and she probably lives in the governor's mansion in New York up in Albany. Well, that must mean that her house, the house that she owns, is empty.
Good. Yeah, so why not? It's probably a nice piece of property.
Oh, I'll bet it is. And she's not going to be there for a while.
Well, she'll have certain exemptions because it will be deemed some kind of state government property, which has, you have no squatters' rights to. The interesting thing is that these squatters are coming in illegally. They're illegal. By the way, just so you know, you cannot sit there and use the word illegal anymore, because if you put that in text, you get a nice little email from somebody, Facebook saying, we don't allow stories about politics or illegal or religion or anything like that. And
they don't like the term illegal at all. I mean, they're literally correcting you now. They're banning it because they're
undocumented.
Yes, exactly.
Citizens, actually, soon to be citizens.
Undocumented citizens.
Look at Tyson. They fire, or they're laying off 1,200 people.
Yep, and they're replacing them with who?
Well, undocumented people that have just crossed the border, not legally. But you call it what you will.
Let me ask you a question. Are you ever going to buy a Tyson chicken again?
No. As a matter of fact, I had some Tyson in the freezer and it hit the trash because I said bad meat, tainted meat.
Good
by
for
a
you.
Company.
Good for you.
I threw it away. I sat there and I said, you know, hey, there's $12, you know, but you know what? That's the last $12.
But why is it, Bill, that
Tyson will ever get for me?
Americans are constantly having to fight for their rights, and illegals are being protected. The illegal is being protected. These squatters, in a sane world, the cops would have come by. They would have seen the deed that the woman's holding in her hand, said, okay, you're so-and-so. Can I see your license? Yep, you're her. Okay, you guys, you're under arrest for breaking and entering. But after 30 days, we got you. We got you. In New York, it becomes literally the illegal's property. And then they lie. One of the illegals said, oh, I have to talk to my real estate agent. I don't know how he put me into this house. I mean, lie after lie.
Well, maybe not. Maybe the realtor, because I got to tell you something. Just because you're a licensed agent doesn't mean you've got scruples. There are a lot of them out there that don't. And how do you know that they're not sitting there going, look,
yeah,
I know a house that's been empty for a while, side money here or there.
You can see, though, that the guy was lying on his feet.
He was pulling it out of his rear end. Yeah, I know.
What was interesting is after the woman was arrested, it wasn't in the piece, a pair of her neighbors in that neighborhood, vigilantes, they call them in the press, mm-hmm. a pair of vigilantes on Wednesday chased away squatters after a Queens homeowner was arrested during the standoff with the occupiers on Tuesday. So the police arrested the lady. So the vigilantes, the neighbors, I guess they must have gotten together with sticks and whatever, and they chased the squatters out. So
I'd like to correct you, though. I hate doing this, Jim.
Go ahead, Bill.
They're concerned citizens.
No, they're concerned citizens if you are a patriot. They're concerned citizens. But if you're a leftist, they're vigilantes. Oh. They're the bad people. They're the people who pick up
sticks.
Those
are the vigilantes.
They are the vigilantes. The vigilantes are the riffraff, and the concerned citizen is...
if you have a concerned citizen group, they are not... You don't put any violent word in that other than concerned citizen because, you know... I love the Democrats try to rewrite that one. But they will. You know, they're doing it. They're rewriting the Constitution. So
you know,
why
they
not?
They will fight, Bill. They will fight for the squatters' rights. There will be some lawyers that will come across being paid for by, like, Soros. I think, as a matter of fact, I did read a subsequent article where a Soros-backed organization is supplying legal representation for these squatters. They've even got lawyers working to keep them in this woman's house. Mm-hmm. You know, we laugh, and this lady lives in Queens, and it's in New York City, and a lot of us think, well, I don't mean to laugh, but we think, oh, that's New York. But, you know, check your laws in your state because it could be coming to your neighborhood. I mean, if you go away for a vacation, let's say hypothetically, let's say you have a summer home somewhere and you vacation for 2 months, right?
Vacation property, yeah.
Yeah, and your house back wherever you live permanently, it's empty for a couple of months. Well, based upon the New York City law, squatters could come into your house while you're away, and they could take ownership just by the mere fact that it was empty for longer than 30 days. Seriously, Bill, if you're in New York and you own a house, and you have, let's say, a summer cottage out in Long Island, and you go mm-hmm. away for the summertime, and your house in Manhattan or Queens or whatever is empty for longer than 30 days, squatters can take over.
Well, you know, a lot of people have now, you know, they have maybe something that was converted to like a small apartment or cottage that they use for an Airbnb.
Sure.
And it could go 30, 40, 60 days without being occupied, and then somebody goes, oh, I'm coming there. Yeah, I'll do that because I'd rather have, you know, the amenities
right.
of home. Would that be up for squatting?
Well, Bill, I guess based upon...
So your little side, your investment and your side income just went out the window.
You may come back to collect the fee for the bed and breakfast and find out the people have taken ownership.
Yeah, because, if you've got 30-day squatter rights... I mean, that's like the homestead thing. You remember, you had to be on a property for 30 days, but you had to have shelter, able to have water. And
it became yours.
Yeah, and prove that you had a domicile there, and all of a sudden, you know what?
They,
and it could
they
be
used to have a lot of range wars, though, back in those days. In those days, it wasn't settled by the police coming out and locking up the landlord. The landlord would get a bunch of his guys together with Winchesters, and there would be range wars back in those days. But
but you can't own a gun, you know. In the new America,
they want your
gun.
You
know, what's the thread that holds our rights together and keeps us from
the Constitution of the United States of America? Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean that's your Bill of Rights. That's everything. You know, and when you think about it. You know, with freedom of speech, that's under attack. The Second Amendment's been under attack. The Third Amendment's been under attack. The Fifth Amendment's been under attack.
The Eighth Amendment, Trump, we talked about it yesterday, right, Bo?
Right. And, you know, I can remember all the way back into the 90s when there was talk. You know, you'd hear Rush Limbaugh talking about it. The reason I know this is I had a guy that worked for me when we did a politically talk station. And that was one of the things that we always talked about. You know, and they wanted to take away the Constitution. It's no good. Well, if you take it away, friends, you know, forget about all your freedoms, all your rights. And, you know, you talk about, he's a dictator. This is a tyrannist. That would be That would get your that would get your dictatorship going. That would be tyrannistic. You would be what we preach against. So think about what you're wishing for. And Trump is going through that. With the Eighth Amendment, we've talked about that. You know, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But
you know, I wanted to point out something else that happened yesterday too, which is going to get your hackles up a bit. Kyle Rittenhouse was down at the University of Memphis giving a speech, and let me just play a little bit of the audio of what it sounded like outside of the hall that he was speaking in. An angry Black Lives Matter mob chased and menaced conservatives attending a Turning Point USA event at the University of Memphis featuring Kyle Rittenhouse on Wednesday evening. The crowd was caught on video hitting and spitting on cars of attendees as they left. So I think this is a warm-up for this summer. If you think this is the end of it, this is like spring training for mobs, okay? I think this summer, because we're getting close to an election that really has consequences, you're going to see more and more of this. But I'll tell you one place where I don't think you will ever see a mob like this. You will never see a mob like this at a Donald Trump rally, because 50,000 people will make short order of that mob. At least that's my opinion. So I mean, it's pretty sad that, but I truly believe that's the beginning of demonstrations and riots and trouble, because they want to distract from the incompetence of the guy who's running on the left right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna want to make it sound also, by the way, that it was instigated by MAGA. They're going to want to make it sound like the right caused this mob to happen. You know? I mean, look at this. Kyle Rittenhouse. This is a kid who was, you know, he defended himself, and he was found innocent. In a normal world, his innocence would mean something, but in this world, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know? The kid is, I'm sure he has to have protection 24/7. Because there are people out there who just don't give him, they don't cut him any slack. You know, the guy is, the kid is under assault. And by the way, when I say kid, I think he was 17 when he protected himself. He was old enough to carry, but not old enough to do a lot of things. And, you know, they don't take into consideration that he literally was a teenager when he had to protect himself from a guy who was older than him and who, by the way, had a gun. If you remember, the guy had a gun. I think he may have even shot at Kyle Rittenhouse. But the point is, he did. So
No. I'm saying, I know. You know, you look back, you know, the rights for illegals to have gun supersedes our rights as citizens.
Well, you heard what we talked about yesterday, right? That judge, mm-hmm. that fathead judge, that meatball of a judge who came down with a ruling and said, no, illegals have a right to carry. Give him his gun back and send him on his way.
Yeah. What constitutional right does that supersede now? Yeah.
The Eighth Amendment. The Eighth Amendment. I think I haven't got it in front of me right now, but it talks about unlawful and onerous fines and penalties, things that can't. Well, what they're doing to Donald Trump in New York right now with $454 million worth of money that he has to fork over just to appeal his case. Think about that for a second, Bill. It's like saying, if you want to, you know, we're going to find you guilty, and Bill Knight, you have to come up with $1 million. That's your penalty. But if you want to appeal it, you got to come up with $1 million too.
Yeah, and well, number one, it's excessive fine, and that's a violation, clear violation of your constitutional rights. Why did Engoron do that? Now, of course, he was predisposed. He even said so in front of the trial. We don't need a jury.
Right.
I've already made up my mind, but we'll do this, and you can't have any witnesses, by the way. But this was set in stone before it ever happened, and for a reason. Because by Engoron going and saying, yeah, we'll go along with that, fine, and she kept raising the ante and raising the ante until, well, how much cash do you have on you? Oh, okay. Well, we'll do, here you go, $454 million. You go to the bank, even if you have the net worth, and try to get that amount of money, you're not going to. Now, the reason for that is, even though it's illegal, unconstitutional, easy for me to say, is because without putting that cash money up, because they're not going to take anything, you know, collateral or anything like that, they're going to sit there and say, well, then you don't have the right to put this case in the front of any other judge's eyes, which then protects both Engoron, Letitia, and their puppeteers, the people that are really in charge of them. It protects them. They don't want to be exposed for the sham that they are doing. This is, you know, this is a crap show, the only way to say it. And it's their own protection. And it's bad news, actually, for the New York legal system. It's bad news for Trump. It's bad news for you and me.
Bill, I've often found myself asking myself, what would Dad think about the world we're living in now? My dad, okay? My dad was a lawyer. My dad, he worked with the law all of his life. He practiced for 60 years. He had a successful firm. He was a captain, he started out as a private, but he ended up being a captain in the Army. At the end of World War II, he had a successful military career. He loved this country desperately. He really loved America, and he stood for all of the things that we talk about in this show. You know, God, country, and apple pie. But you know, he's been gone since 2005, and I often find myself wondering what would Dad think about the craziness that's going on in this world. I mean, we talk about it this morning, right? The squatters. I mean, that should be an open and shut done deal. I mean, it should be so obvious the whole idea of doing a story about it would be, you know, worthless. Why are you doing a story about that? We know they're going to be arrested. No. Everything is upside down now. The border. If I told my dad, in 2000, that we don't have borders in the United States, he would have laughed. He would have said, check a map. You know, that's probably all he would have said, check a map. But no. Dad, if wherever you are, and I know it's someplace close to God, I know that you're shaking your head right now because we have no borders here anymore. Our laws are turned upside down. We have police officers protecting the criminals, and we have police officers arresting the good. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. And I'm sure that a lot of people who are my age feel the same way. You know,
part of the border protection is by we the people. You know, imagine this. You know, there's something you've always wanted. You really, really wanted it. You really wanted it. And then one day it came to fruition and you got it. Like the United States of America, our founding fathers. And they made this great thing. And they enjoyed it and they cherished it. And for generations, people enjoyed and cherished it. But people elsewhere that didn't have it didn't like us for having it.
Right.
They hated us. Then they hated us more. And as time goes on, we just kind of accepted it as the norm. And we've started taking our freedoms and our liberties for granted. And now, well, let's fast forward to today. You know, we've given this great, great gift away because we've just let it, wanted, you stuffed it away in the closet.
A lot of the young people, I don't mean to be critical of young people. I mean, heck, I was young once too. But, I understand why they don't pay attention to what's happening in the world. They just glance at news stories and make a determination. I really mean this. I'm not going to say anything, but I've had conversations recently with young people about the comings and goings in our world, and they're well intentioned, but they aren't paying attention, and it's understandable because they have so many other things going on in their life. They have they have studies. They have a lot of things that are taking away from their paying attention to what's really happening, but to their detriment, because while they're not paying attention, the laws, their country that we love is slipping away, and it is slipping away. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was going to say, you know, again, it gets back to, you know, respecting that thing you really wanted. They have never been taught to understand what it was that they were inheriting and why it is worth keeping and protecting. Now, they do relate to things in and around them. You know, take, for instance, TikTok, you know, and we're forcing a foreign country to sell an asset to an American or get the hell out of here. And, you know, it's because, well, they are stealing valuable information from you, your personal stuff. They're excessive on it. Well, let's look at that for a second, because this is what the young teenagers see and how they see it. And I know this because I've asked them, you know, and I've got a son that's 21 and he's going, well, you know, if you read the fine print there, like every other company, you know, it is the same thing where, by the way, when you sign onto the site, you know, we're going to give you cookies. We gather information because that's how we make money. We sell your information to other platforms. Facebook, Google, every hospital in the world, every company in the world, you know, they're, have you ever talked about something, but you got an Alexa or whatever you call the thing?
Oh, sure.
And all of a sudden, it pops up on your internet.
Absolutely.
And how did that get there? Because they're listening, and they have ways of getting cookies planted, and it's on your device. They're doing the very thing that they are kicking China out of here for. Yes, I don't like China. You know, I like people, but I don't like their government. But this is, you know.
I was watching an episode of the FBI yesterday, and in the investigation, they're going through the bad guy's computer, and one of the guys is charged with going through the emails. And the guy says, I got to take a break from this. I can't take any more of this. And the, quote, tech genius in the group says, well, you're not going through them manually, are you? What do you mean? We have software for that. It'll go through it. You just put it through the software. You'll have it done in 5 minutes. And I thought, there's probably a lot of truth to that. I mean,
well,
we think that, you know, that people are going through and reading our stuff. And, you know, you talk about that device over there. I don't want to mention her name, listening all the time. They have algorithms going on us all the time. The key words that we say in our conversation are picked up, and they make determinations on us based upon those key words they gather.
Yeah. So you they're know? Dancing. They're dancing around the laws and the Constitution. And there's evidence of it everywhere. Now, we've changed law. Well, we've created new laws, you know, for, you know, certain events that happen that we go, okay, we've got to do this if we want to get to the root of it. But this is going beyond certain things of what they're doing here. But what they accused, and that's what the kids see. They do see the things that they love and hold dear under attack. And you Dems better, pay attention to that, because you've chased them off.
The scary part about it is, Bill, they they take it for granted. The young people take it for granted. It's such a great world. It's such a great country.
But we're teaching them that.
But they assume that the whole world is just like what they're living in. They really do.
No.
They don't understand that they're living in something that is totally unique. That's why so many people want to get here. It's because it is such a special place.
Well, a lot of people want to get here. A lot of people, though, don't want to get here because they're jealous of it, so they would rather destroy it. Well, if I can't have it, neither can you.
Yeah, there's some of those, too.
Why aren't we teaching the value of what it is that we got? This is a family heritage that needs to be, passed on and passed on.
Well, we have got in our country right now, I'm afraid to say this, but I really believe this. I believe we have battalions of enemy soldiers here in our country right now. The invaders aren't at the gate. No. The invaders have gone through the gate. They're here. They're in our country, and they're awaiting orders. And I truly believe that's the case. You can't have tens of thousands of military age, for example, Chinese men coming across our southern border, and all of a sudden just think they're here for a better job, for a new No. First of all, these aren't people who came from border states, border countries. They came across the Pacific friggin' ocean. Come on. They came across the Pacific Ocean in an airplane to get someplace so they could be transported to our border to come across. I mean, they probably came across on a military transport, if you ask me. I think I told you there was a reporter who went down to a village in Central America that is mainly Chinese, and it was all men. Now, he went to other villages of migrants who were preparing to make the move into our country, and those migrants were mostly families, men and women from other countries. But the Chinese village was mainly a military-style base. It was mostly military-aged men. They weren't talking to the reporter. They didn't like the reporter being around their site, and it was not a comfortable situation where when he went to other sites with families who were moving north, it was like, welcome. Would you like something to eat or something? It was a different environment. So we have in our country right now, whether we want to believe it or not, thanks to Joe Biden, thanks to the government that we have in place right now, the one that says, by the way, look at what we've done for you. You should vote for us again in 2024. Those guys, right? They've allowed all these guys into our country. It's going to happen. By the way, I think we talked about this week. Experts like Doug McGregor said, hey, we're not going to make the 2024 election.
We got financial doom coming up. And then everything is off the table because everybody will be in a panic and, the Constitution will be totally out the door because nobody will care about it then. They'll be caring about their own hide. Where's my next meal going to come from? Am I going to have a roof over my head? Probably not because, in that kind of time, they'll just come in and say, get out of here. We got some undocumented real citizens that want to stay in this place that have earned the right because they illegally came across the border. I mean, come on.
Well,
this is crazy.
Douglas McGregor, for people who didn't hear the most recent shows where we had his little report, I'm going to run it one more time.
I don't think we'll ever get to the 2024 election. I think things are going to implode in Washington before then. I think our economic financial condition is fragile. It's going to come home to roost in ugly ways. I will tell you, I don't know exactly how it will happen. I think we're going to end up in a situation where we find out the banks are closed for 2 or 3 weeks and nobody can get into them.
You think so?
I think we're going to run into something like that, yeah. I also think that the levels of violence and criminality in our cities is so high that it's going to spill over into other places in society. People that normally think they can live remote from the problem are now beginning to be touched by the problem. Then I look at this thing in Ukraine. I think Ukraine is going to lose catastrophically. It's going to be a complete collapse. And that, too, is going to have an effect here at home because people are going to say, well, wait a minute. Everybody told us Ukraine was winning. Everybody told us X, Y, and Z. I mean, it's sort of the Russian hoax on steroids. All of those things are going to come together or converge in some way that's going to prevent us from reaching, the status quo. Oh, another election. another set of campaigns and so forth.
Wow. You know, and we talked, Bill, about the violence, the Black Lives Matter, violence at the University of Memphis yesterday. And I think it's just the beginning. It's like spring training for them. They're getting ready for a lot of turmoil. I think he's right, Bill. I do think that the 2024 election is going to be at least delayed. You know, they're going to come across it. The people who are in charge right now are going to say, "Hey, Biden, he can't win, so we got to keep him in place, and there has to be a reason for him to be in place." So that will be martial law. How about martial law? We'll have a lot of unrest in the country, and we'll have to call out the National Guard or something like that and put military troops in place, and it'll be too unstable for us to have elections. We can't have people going to the polls. That's another thing. They may end up saying down the road, well, look, we can't have people actually going to the polls and voting because it's too unsafe for them to be gathered together in one place. So why don't we just have mail-in ballots, you know? Mail-in voting. We'll send everybody a ballot and they can vote, and that'll be fair, won't it? Come on, folks. You know, this is stuff that the left is already thinking about. You know, when you see Barack Obama walking into 10 Downing Street like he did a couple of days ago by himself to talk with the prime minister, there's something going on. You know, he's part of something else that's happening that we can't see.
A little more nefarious is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, this guy is corrupt. I'm sorry. There's no other way of describing this guy. He's pulling the strings. Do you think that Joe Biden is making decisions on his own? Do you think he's going into his office, the Oval Office, sitting down and doing some consideration, serious consideration on what to do in this world? I think he goes into his office and takes a nap.
Yeah. Hey, there's probably something. I'm going to change the subject here.
Go ahead.
I just saw a story that caught my eye. There's something here. What it is, I don't know. But the Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport in Arkansas, which was renamed after them, the executive director of that airport, Brian Milanowski. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently, early Tuesday morning, around 6 a.m., the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms and Explosives agents arrived at his home to serve a warrant when they were met with gunfire and from within the house.
Okay.
Apparently, he was shot in the head. So he's dead. You know, another death around Bill and Hillary.
People may say, well, what does Bill and Hillary have to do? You know, there's a lot of people who are saying that the turmoil in Haiti will go back to the Clintons, you know, because of the Clinton Foundation and all the corruption that they had. You know, people were giving to the Clinton Foundation, and like maybe 3-5% of it, they say, was going to the poor people in Haiti. I mean, there's a lot of things that are pretty shady. But Bill, tell them about the deaths around the Clintons. I mean, you don't have to be specific, but you know as well as I do, there's a whole litany of people who have been around the Clintons over the decades that aren't with us anymore.
Oh, yeah, we're knocking on the door of 100. I mean, you know, what was his name? Foster.
Vince Foster, yeah.
Vince Foster. I mean, he was found by the park police.
Well, yeah, he shot himself dead, wrapped himself up in a
well,
carpet.
Well, that's easy to do, you know,
and then he dragged himself over to Fort Marcy Park, and
Well, his ghost did that. Yeah, it's amazing, and I think there was hair that was found there too.
Yeah,
that kind of matches somebody's.
Yeah, but you don't want to talk about. I mean, it's a carpet. Anybody can shed hair on a carpet, you know.
Yeah, well, amazing that that person had their strands in that carpet, and has been pretty. I think that person might have once run for. Never mind. We're not going to say that.
Yes, I know what you're saying. I know where you're going. Yes.
Yes, I know. Well, been down this path before. But yeah, I mean, there's a litany, and I mean, we're not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wait, we're in the tens, the twenties, the thirties. Oh,
state. There are state troopers who were in their protection who are dead. I mean, you just said it. The guy who, even now, why would the guy who runs an airport that's named after them and probably was, you know, created during his administration, probably for a reason. Maybe it's a small airport that he can scoot in and out of quickly, you know.
They laid it in a movie on the doorstep of Reagan, but, you know, and Reagan probably had something to do with it. But when you go with the illegal drugs flown in with everything that went on down there, the MENA airport, and, you know, a lot of the goings on there in Arkansas. I mean, you could have landed a shuttle on that airport. Why was that built in a little town that had nobody?
With hopes of it growing into a bigger town, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, with all of this being said, in a normal world, if somebody had all these things in their background, they would quietly want to disappear into the woodwork somewhere, right? No. As a matter of fact, I read a story yesterday where I guess Hillary is kind of looking over at the presidency and thinking, well, you know, I may have an opportunity here if Joe doesn't run. I may have a shot at one more chance at being president of the United States. With all of this going on, with all of this turmoil, she still has ambitions to be the president.
You know, yeah, she has ambitions. Now, what happens if she, is there a back doorway that she could get in to be the president?
Well, is there a back door? Well, let's think about this for a second. Let's say hypothetically, and this is all hypothetical. We're not
Let's
say that Carmella says, I'm not going to run for the vice presidency anymore.
Let's say
that Joe says, well, I'm going to pick Hillary to be my vice presidential running mate. Mm-hmm. Then let's say that they manipulate the elections and Joe, let's say even before the election, let's say down the road Joe decides something happens to him physically or he's not able to continue the campaign, and Hillary picks up the banner and says, look it, forget me being vice president, think of me as your president-elect. I mean, there's a number of ways she can manipulate herself and maneuver herself.
Yeah, but see, you're assuming that they're going to steal the election. We know that makes you an election denier because,
that's true.
2020 was
I think I'll slap
never,
myself. Excuse me.
2020 was never stolen, but I'm trying to find the story here. Leading Democrats.
I know I have people who, we're laughing about Hillary running for the presidency. And I know that there are people who are listening to this program who are people who are on the left who would be delighted seeing Hillary as president, which I can't understand because she would just finish what Barack had already started.
You know, Hillary does appeal to a lot of the female base because, you know, she sells certain things that get their attention and she hides the other nuances about her that really drive people up the wall because she truly is an evil person, which is what they've done to Trump, try to make him an evil person. Hillary, on the other hand, is an evil person. Trump doesn't have a litany of dead bodies, a trail of them that lead right up to his doorstep. Now,
Hillary does have a great right arm. She can throw an ashtray from across the room.
Oh yeah, and I mean, ask Bill about that.
Oh, she's got a slider like you wouldn't believe. if you don't know the story, one time the former president came out to speak, and he had a shiner, and I guess he was evasive as to how he got it, but somebody in the know said that Hillary had been angry at Bill and decided to toss an ashtray at him. So I.
Well, there's actually more to that story. Apparently, she was having a little tryst with. She was having a little tryst with one of her, friends. Yeah, one of her really close
companions.
Friends.
Yes,
companions.
Yes,
and you know they were reading a book together in bed. Let's just put it that way.
Uh-huh.
Bill wanted to come in and listen to him read.
It was story time.
It was story time. He wanted to come in and listen to him read, and she grabbed the ashtray and beamed him.
Well, there you go.
Get the hell out of here, Bill. So, and that's as nice as I can put it.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think that the people they can fill it in for themselves. They got the gist of the story.
But, you know, they have poo-pooed that story for years, but there's been a lot of claims to back it up. Hell, they poo-poo that Biden walked around naked.
They used to call him Cobra. Cobra. That was his Secret Service code name. When he was on the move at the vice presidential mansion, occasionally he would walk around the mansion au naturel. En français, s'il vous plaît, au naturel. That means he was naked as a jaybird. And the Secret Service would use their walkie-talkies to tell people around the building that be prepared. He's walking around with no clothes on.
So like that old song was, let it all hang out. That's what he did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And this is the guy who stumbles and fumbles right now and loves to smell little children's hair. By the way, he did that 2 days ago. He was at some function, and he saw a little child in the audience. And after he finished doing his speech, instead of going off the stage, he stepped off the stage, went over to the little child, and sniffed her hair. I mean, this guy.
Hey, how's the electric car thing going? It's dying on the vine, right?
Oh, big time. I mean, there are car companies that have shut down much of their EV line because the dealers are saying, hey, we're not going to buy any of your EVs to sell because people aren't even looking at them. Never mind buying them.
Yeah. So, I think Joe is all in on it, though. He just announced the other day. I think now it's like 4 years from now, he wants to have people be all electric or at least a hybrid car. Forget about the gas. Pretty much.
Hey.
And if we go all electric and hybrid, here's the problem. Let's say you get the electric thing fixed. Your hybrid car is not going to be worth squat because you still will need gas, and we're not producing gas. And if we cut off the gas pipeline, you got a half-wit car that can't go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Folks, it's just I don't get the EV thing. I don't, because first of all, most of the minerals, most of the things you need for the batteries are found in China, and the batteries are made in China, right? So we're dependent on the Chinese to run these cars. He's bound and determined. He and his minions are bound and determined to get us to run EV cars, and we're going to be dependent totally on China. If they go to war with us, they just stop sending us batteries, and we're screwed.
Well, we don't have the manufacturing. We have the resources and the raw minerals here, but just like our oil, which we have an abundance of, Joe has cut it off. And why is that? You know, what does he have? I mean, Bob Alewski, you know, sat there in Alewski or Linsky, whatever
Alewski.
It is. Bob,
yeah, I have a couple of audio cuts from him coming all up right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah, let's do it, and then we'll talk about AOC. You know,
AOC was talking with Bob Alinsky at the conference, and Bob Alinsky was having nothing of her stupidity. By the way, she's a dumb woman. I don't give a darn whether you're a supporter or not. She's a numbskull. She has as much right being there as I do, okay? But anyway, I probably have more common sense than she has. But no, I take that back. I do have more common sense than she has.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
But she was going to grill Tony Bob Alinsky, and listen to how this went.
Mr. Bob Alinsky, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
Specifically. You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
know.
The
It's a category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
You
under
have charges.
A long hundred
You have charges. Sir, yeah. Please
you want me to name,
name
the exact statute
sir?
Under RICO?
Yes. Oh,
well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir. I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That went to law school.
I reclaim my time.
I'll leave
reclaim
it
my
up
time.
To you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you,
the
sir.
Statute
I reclaim my time.
RICO.
Clearly, what we are seeing here today is a continuation of the 15-month saga of the Republican majority lost in the desert. impeachment 101. The majority party or whomever is raising impeachment must accuse the president of a high crime, a specific high crime or misdemeanor. I would like to submit to the record HRES 918, the House resolution to open this impeachment inquiry.
Without objection to order.
This resolution does not outline a high crime or misdemeanor. It's not here. Now, when we compare the chairman's opening from his previous opening, he's talking about Ukraine and Burisma and all of this. It is this entire inquiry is based on a blockbuster piece of information that was in a classified SCIF room. And inside that room was a document alleging President Biden directly of a $10 million bribery scheme, a $10 million bribery scheme, extremely serious. What happened? What happened a month ago, Mr. Chairman? That document, the FBI arrested the person who offered those allegations for falsifying his testimony to the FBI. This entire impeachment inquiry is based on an actual provable individual who has lied. Now, responsible leadership would withdraw an inquiry based on that. Withdraw it. Instead, what we are seeing is that this committee was warned about the falsehoods of these allegations long before that, warned by Trump Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and yet they proceeded anyway. The chairman proceeded anyway. This committee was warned by Rudy Giuliani associate right here, Lev Parnas, after that document about the falsehoods of this. Then held hearings where your own expert witnesses said that there was no grounds for impeachment and you proceeded anyway. And finally, as if none of this was enough, the FBI arrested the individual who was the source of the entire, to quote the chairman, heart of the matter, to launch this impeachment inquiry and proceeded anyway. At this point, the story is not the fact that the basis of this impeachment inquiry is wrong. The story is why it's proceeding anyway. Why is this committee proceeding based on false charges? And if there, and by the way, no charges. I have yet to hear in the chairman's opening the allegation that they are specifically charging the president of the United States with. I'm hearing about Biden family. I'm hearing about this and that. I am not hearing the specific allegation by this committee. What is it? It's not here. And that is the problem. The story is when this committee knew that they were working with falsified evidence. That's the story.
Keep rocking and rolling there. Keep rocking and rolling.
There's a big misdirection going on. Yeah, there's a big misdirection there.
Wait a second. She says, what was the specific law that he broke? And Bob Alinsky says, do you have enough time? And she says, what was the law? He said RICO statutes. And he starts going through and she's, that's a category. No, lady. The Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act is a United States federal law that provides for extended criminal penalties and a civil cause of action for acts performed as part of an ongoing criminal organization. It is not a category per se. It's if you are found guilty of a violation of the RICO Act, you've committed a crime. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Well, yeah, I was going to say you got to understand how the RICO Act came about, because it came about from, Gambinos and crime bosses, because you couldn't go to Mr. Gambino and say, did you kill that man? Well, I didn't have any such thing to do with it. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I didn't do nothing. And so the racketeering and influence is the key word there. They wanted to get the head of the snake, the crime boss.
Yep.
And the only way to do that was to sit there and, carve out the law, and Democrats are a part of this, to sit there and say, hey, you know what? Just because you didn't physically do it, Which is what you're trying to say about Trump. He didn't physically do something, but he influenced it, which he didn't. There's no RICO violation there, but there is with Joe. There's a difference, and there's a difference, too. Yeah, go ahead and accuse Hunter of everything you want to. Let's accuse all the king's men and everyone else around them, because the king is going to pardon them anyway.
Before RICO, they were protected by distance. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't anywhere near that. Like you said, I was in Queens having spaghetti.
I don't know what you're
talking
about. I was having dinner with my mistress. Yeah, you know, my wife says we have an open relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, the lady, AOC, she got her head handed to her, figuratively speaking, because she said what was it specifically, and Bob Bielinski was right there with an answer, a violation of the RICO Act, and then he was going to go step by step.
And who is Bob
Bielinski? He was a partner of Hunter Biden.
There you go.
You know,
so he would know, and he did see firsthand. Well, what specifically? Well, she wasn't there when Joe went on the plane over to the Ukraine or anything like that. He might have been there. I don't know.
You know, I got another cut. It's a little long. Byron Daniels, he's talking to Bob Bielinski, and before Bob Bielinski gives the answer that Daniels wants, but I should play it. It is a little long, but we can go a little long if we have to, right?
Sure.
Thank you. You know, he keeps me in the straight and narrow. You know?
Thank you, Chairman. Right. It's been an interesting hearing so far. Let's actually get to the actual paper trail of money flow from the CEFC into the bank account for President Joe Biden. And I want to start with a text message, July 31, WhatsApp text message between Hunter Biden and one Mr. Zhao. Real quick, Mr. Bob Bielinski, who is Mr. Zhao?
Congressman Donalds, I'd just actually like to spend 20 seconds. If you noticed, Congressman Khanna scurried out of here very quickly, and I'm actually disgusted as I sit here that he didn't address me based on the fact that I'm sitting here in front of the world trying to testify to the truth. In October 2020, I have messages I'm willing to produce to both the Democrats and the Republicans that Ro Khanna sent to me saying, you've always demonstrated to me that you're nothing but an honest with the highest integrity individual. And I was begging for him to go on CNN and tell the world in October 2020. I have extensive emails with Congressman Ro Khanna in 2021 and 2022 where I begged him and his staff to sit down with me and look at my BlackBerry phones that the Democrats are so focused on, to hire forensics experts and go through all of the factual information I had. So the fact that he did not even address me and then scurried out of here is disgusting to me.
All right.
Sorry, Mr. Donalds. I'll answer your question now.
All right, so we're going to have to come off of that because now we're at 3 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I want to submit into the record two different WhatsApp text messages. One, July 31, between Hunter Biden and Mr. Zhao of CEFC, which stipulates that Hunter Biden wants to be able to move on from and get the deal resolved, and that Mr. Zhao responds and says, yes, the CEFC is willing to cooperate with the family. On August 31, there is another exchange, this time August 3rd, 2017, between Hunter Biden and Mr. Gonwei Dong. And in this message, they're talking about the stipulations of the arrangement between the Biden family and CEFC. I want to submit both WhatsApp text messages for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, to order.
Okay, now to the money flow, because this is where the rubber meets the road. On August 3rd, they actually stipulate through WhatsApp text messages the exact stipulations of the deal. On August 4th, $100,000 is wired into Owasco PC from CEFC infrastructure. Mr. Chairman, I want to submit for the record a portion of the bank statement for the time period August 3rd of 2017 to August 31, 2017, stipulating $100,000 going from CEFC into the bank account of Hunter Biden through Owasco PC.
Without objection, so ordered.
On August 8th, 4 days later, $5 million is then transferred from the Northern International Capital account of $5 million to Hudson West III. Hudson West III is a bank account controlled by Hunter Biden and Mr. Gon Wang, a.k.a. Kevin Dong, who is a CEFC associate. That money comes from a Northern International Capital a bank account that is tied to the CCP. Mr. Chairman, I want to submit for the record the bank statement demonstrating that transfer.
Without objection, so ordered.
Okay, moving on. On August 8th, the same time period, there is a wire transfer of $400,000 to Owasco PC from the Hudson West III bank account. That $400,000, Mr. Chairman, I have the transfer records in the bank accounts from the August time period. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
Now, here's where the fun stuff comes in, everybody, and I got a minute to do it, so we're going to get this done. On August 14th, there is $150,000 that is transferred from Owasco PC, which is controlled by Hunter Biden, to Lion Hall Group, which is controlled by James Biden. I have the records here, Mr. Chairman, of the $150,000 that has gone to Lion Hall Group from Owasco PC. I want to submit that for the record.
Without objection, it's ordered.
On August 28th, and I believe we have a screenshot for everybody in the room. On August 28th, Mr. Chairman, we have the withdrawal ticket from Lion Hall Group that is signed by Sarah Biden, who is the wife of Jim Biden, for $50,000 to withdraw from Lion Hall Group. I want to submit that withdrawal receipt for the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
On September 3rd, on August 28th, actually, Mr. Chairman, we have the deposit reference into Sarah Jones Biden's account on the same day she withdrew it from Lion Hall. I want to submit
without
that.
Without objection, to order.
Last document. On September 3rd, 2007, from Sarah Biden's own personal account, there is a check that is written to Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the President of the United States today, for $40,000, signed loan repayment. A loan repayment, by the way, that Joe Biden's own personal accountant, Mr. Eric Schwerin, has no record for. I want to submit that for the record, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, so ordered.
To the members of the committee, it is clear that the source of this money came from CEFC, and that CEFC is a company that is directly linked to the CCP and actually the chairman of the CCP, the chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Chairman Xi Jinping. With that, I yield.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there are people out there who will still deny it. Oh, that can't be. No. These are all documented things he read. These were all documented steps that Byron Donalds was talking about.
Right.
No,
there is evidence against Joe, and it leads back to him. And there's enough people that say that they've had the conversation and dealings with him. And let's not forget about, too, you know, they talk about the documents of Trump. Well, Trump was president. He did have rights and still does have those rights. Joe did not, however. And he had things in his little Corvette and all over the floor in his house. And he wasn't there in his Delaware home, but, well, his vet was. The documents were, and so were Chinese operatives. And that's documented, too, in his house when Hunter was passed out on a crack pipe. So,
you know,
explain to me where there's no evidence.
We're what, into day three, I guess, of the imprisonment of Peter Navarro?
They're locking up the right. Any voice of freedom and a dissenting voice against them,
you know,
lock them up while we still can, while we have power, and we'll keep our power. And that's what they're doing.
You know, with Paul Manafort back in the beginning of the Trump administration, he was the campaign manager of the Trump campaign, and they put him in jail. And a lot of people, I have a good friend of mine, a guy who listens to this program, who has known Paul Manafort for years and has vehemently denied any wrongdoing, that Paul's an honorable guy, and he got screwed, if you'll pardon the expression. And that doesn't surprise me based upon the people that we're dealing with right now. These are all the same people, folks. You know, these are the same people. You know, they believe in putting the right in jail. I mean, just ask Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro does not belong in prison. He just doesn't. I'm sorry. He's 70-some years old, and he was doing what his boss told him to do. His boss was the president of the United States, and the left, they can't stand this.
Well, and, what does Hillary want to do?
She wants to be president. That's what she
wants. Well, she wants to be president. Now, you know, she's done some nefarious things, you know, obviously. And there have been people that there's a trail of death that goes right up to her doorstep. But, you know, she wants to re-educate the right.
Yeah, yeah, she said that. Which means
they would have to pick us up, take us to, I don't know, some kind of little camp. Here's your room. Got your sleeping bag with you and your toothy brush? Yeah, this is where you're going to stay. Now, here is your drill sergeant, you know, or here's your...
Bill.
They're not going to retrain you. They're going to lock you away.
You know what Hillary thinks of us.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up. He has given voice to their websites that used to only have 11,000 people, now have 11 million. He tweets and retweets. They're offensive, hateful, mean-spirited rhetoric.
Said the demonic Hillary Clinton.
You know what she did there, though?
What?
You know, not only did she demean the right, she gave credit to Trump for having millions of followers, but she diminished the amount, and purposely so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's got 11 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we have... No, you don't, actually. As a matter of fact, the numbers right now show that Trump is the one overwhelmingly so. Like that one, they have a meme a day that they come out, and they come from the DNC, by the way, just so you know. They have a propaganda machine there that's also cranking out the memes, and you know what?
You remember the night of the 2016 election when she lost, and she just wouldn't admit it. She just wouldn't do it. She wouldn't concede. And
it wasn't on her script.
No,
scripted play.
I think she had somebody else from her team go out and do the concession, and it was like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I guess they were saying that Hillary was having a breakdown. I mean, it went like you said. They had a script. They were convinced that it was going to be a certain way. I do believe, by the way, it was the same setup as the 2020 election. They just had miscalculated the number of supporters that Trump actually had, and Trump did overwhelm the system in 2016. That's why they adjusted the system in 2020 a little higher so that they could compensate.
Yeah, I gotta wonder though, because Hillary was guaranteed she had that election.
Yeah,
and people that have not marched her, towed her line, have met ill fate. I wonder how many people may have come to sad circumstances that were involved that didn't guarantee that she got across the finish line. There's probably somebody out there. I don't know that anybody's ever looked into that. Well, who was on the Hillary campaign that was close to her in her circle that may not be
with us anymore?
Huh?
With us anymore?
Yeah, may not be with us anymore. Has gone on to meet great whatever it is for the left. I don't know, because they don't believe in God.
No,
most of the left don't. They say they do, but, you know, the rhetoric out there and the attack on Christianity, the church, and the whole nine yards.
They truly minimize religion, Christianity, Judaism. Look at what they're doing to the Jewish faith right now. You know, anyway, we could go on and on. I just looked at the clock. We've gone over. But listen, if you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868. You won't get us personally, but you can leave a message, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com. You can also hire a snail, tie a little thread around its neck.
Yes.
You know, now if it's a trained snail, we sell those, you know, we'll mail them to you.
It'll slow walk your message?
It'll slow walk your message. It's got to be a little piece of paper, so you can't write that many words on it. But we'll send that snail to you, and then you can get us by snail mail. Oh, man, that's bad.
Hey, folks, it's the
whatever
end of the show.
Whatever it takes, you know.
It's been a long show.
We got pigeons, too.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Anyway, I think with that, you should wrap this thing up the way that you normally wrap it up, sir.
Oh, I've got to. After that one, those two stink balls. Yeah. Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.